This is the Starting Five, and today on the Starting Five, we welcome back a guest, which is always a happy thing for us. The guest is from Cam Ball Report and Raptors headquarters. It is Ray Balla, who was here before, and we were talking some stuff, and now we're going to talk a whole bunch of things: Canada basketball, some high schoolers, and of course the NBA draft, which is coming up on Thursday. So, welcome, Ray.
Thank you very much, James. How you been?
Not too bad, you know, waiting for Chris Bosh to decide what home he will have, and like everybody else, having no clue on where that will be.
It'd be a happier day when we find that out pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it'll be nice for everyone that covers the Toronto Raptors, I think. We will all, whether he stays, goes, whatever, it'll be nice to have that in the rearview mirror. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of topics. First and foremost, an event that just happened in Toronto. They had the equivalent, I guess, to the McDonald's All-American game that they have in the States. They had the Canadian version of that, and you were covering that. What do you think of that event?
I thought it was great. The All-Canada Classic is actually in its 10th year, gone through some different names, but the talent was incredible. For anyone who was there, you guys saw an amazing performance by a top five U.S. recruit point guard in Mick Cabongo. This guy just tore it up. He is shoulders above all talent at the guard level in Canada right now. It was just an amazing game.
And the last time we talked, we actually talked about Tristan Thompson. Well, now he's got a couple more Canadians coming with him. Corey Joseph is now committed to Texas. And the guy you just mentioned is going to be going to Texas, not this year, but next year.
That's right. That's right. And, Corey going to Texas with Tristan makes that recruiting class of two players top 15 in the NCAA, apparently. That's just going to be phenomenal. They're losing Avery Bradley and they're picking up Corey Joseph, so they're pretty much not dropping off on talent at all.
Yeah, so if Canada didn't know it already from TJ Ford being a Raptor, Hook 'em Horns is going to be very popular in Canada if you follow basketball, I would imagine.
Oh, definitely, definitely, for at least the next college season at least.
Now, we head into the NBA draft. I don't think we're going to have a Canadian drafted in the first round this year. No offense to Andy Routens, but that's probably not happening. So, who do you think is the next Canadian to be that first round draft pick?
Well, you've already mentioned him. I'm thinking that it's either going to be Tristan Thompson or Corey Joseph. If they have great years next college season and they do decide to come out. Right now, the early favorite outside of those two is Chris Joseph, Maurice Joseph's little brother, who played with Andy at Syracuse. Right now, the boards are having him go early second round, and if he plays up to what we think he can play up to be, which is a Wesley Johnson type of game, there's no doubt that he could probably crack that late first round right now.
Yeah, we talked about him the last time as well, and Montreal. As a city, I do radio in Montreal, but as a city, it's become quite the hotbed for producing basketball talent.
Oh, yes, it has. Just taking into account the guys who have already been playing pro for a while, like Joel Anthony, Juan Mendez, some other guys that maybe have played minor league or in Europe that people might not be, you know, pretty familiar with. The talent there is crazy. It's definitely rivaling any of the other major cities in North America.
And then part of what's going on in the world right now is the World Cup as we change gears here. But the World Championships are coming up, and Canada has qualified on all four levels for that, both men's senior and women's senior and junior men and junior women. So before we get into the men's team, first of all, of those four teams, which has the best shot of doing the best for Canada?
I think it should be the junior women. They've got a lot of talent. They finished second in their qualifying tournament last summer, coming second to the U.S. I think they have a great shot at medaling at the tournament this summer. And I mean, just the talent that's assembled already. A lot of those girls are going to very good programs, be it in Canada or in the States. And, it's just going to be an eye-opener for the rest of the world to know that our ladies are going to be a force to reckon with this July.
And that bodes well, I guess, when you head in the Olympics in London for the senior women's team by that time, because some of those girls will be ready to play on that level, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I wouldn't even rule out with some of those girls being moved up to the senior team this summer. There's some of them are that good.
Sounds encouraging for all the ladies out there. But for the men's team, they will be playing an exhibition game against France here in Toronto at the ACC. Unfortunately, it's not against Turkey, because if it had been against Turkey, Canada basketball could have printed money.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. There's no love lost for the many antics of our favorite Turkish basketball player in Toronto. But I mean, definitely that would have been some fun to be at, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you could have added like a zoo. I mean, it would have been absolutely hysterical. But they are playing France, and what kind of team does France have? Will this be a good test for Canada?
I think so. Canada actually plays China in Vancouver a week before, and I mean, playing France will be no different. France is a definite world power when it comes to basketball, even without Tony Parker. That's the word on the street. Tony won't be playing with the national team, but they're suiting up probably five or six NBA and former NBA guys. They've got plenty of international experience. They're all young and hungry guys, and seeing how they play in Toronto against France will be a good gauge just to see how they've come along over the last year and how their players are coming along over the last few seasons, with the squad.
Yeah, and then China, no Yao Ming, right?
Yes, I imagine not. I haven't heard any word about the Yao Ming suiting up yet, but regardless, there's a billion people there. There's got to be at least 12 guys who can really put up some game against us.
And they'll still have Yi.
Yes, I imagine so. They should. Again, no word on whether he's not playing yet, but it's very likely that he'll be playing for the team in Vancouver.
And when you look at this Canada basketball team, they could get Matt Bonner. That would be a nice addition for this team. But
That'd be great.
whether they do or whether they don't have the Red Rocket, what are their chances heading into this World Championships? What's a realistic expectation for people to have for this team?
I think the expectation is that they win, but if you want to get down to the brass tacks, a realistic expectations, I think placing in the top seven or eight is a big step. I think qualifying last summer was great, but let's not kid ourselves. We're not ready to move mountains yet with this team. I think this is just a development towards the Olympics, and I think a top seven or eight finish would be great. With a top five, an outside shot, depending on our pool and how things go on. But definitely top eight for sure.
Yeah, and for those not familiar with the World Championships, it is set up a lot like the World Cup is, where you have a group play and all that, and then you get into the knockout stages. So just to refresh people's memory, who is in that group playing with Canada in the World Championships?
Wow, we have Spain, we have New Zealand. We have, I think it's Lebanon as well. Lebanon and New Zealand should be the easier teams in the group. Spain is always going to be tough. I'm pretty sure that we have Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a little while since I've seen the list of team pools, but I know that the top four outside of Canada are going to be tough games. And I mean, luckily, if we can come out with something like a 2-2 record, that's a bonus, and then we would advance to the next round and then take it from there.
Yeah, and of course, Spain, they won't have Pau Gasol, but they got a lot of other people.
Yeah, not too bad, I think. They've got a couple of good guys, I think, in Calderon, Garbajosa, are on the team initially right now, and they'll be making cuts throughout the summer. So the team will be good. We're not going to have the star power of maybe previous summers, but regardless, these guys play at a very high level in the EuroLeague, and there's no need, like, there isn't any reason why anyone should sleep on them, particularly Canada, since we are looking to make a statement in this World Championship.
And will we be seeing Minnesota Timberwolves' own Ricky Rubio?
I'm not too sure. I imagine so. I imagine so. He's looking to, I guess, build on his reputation as the best young point guard in all of Europe. It's possible. I imagine he hasn't had any major injuries over the Euro season. He's been playing great as of late into the season, and from what I understand from one of my colleagues out there, he's been a show. He's been a show.
So moving on with Canada, if they were to get Matt Bonner to come in, it's not a huge help to this team because, I mean, everyone who's a Raptor fan knows Matt Bonner. 99% of the people who know him love him. Does that bring more eyes to the table for Canada basketball? And just in that sense, not even talking on-court basketball, to have a guy like that, is that something good for the program?
I think so. I think Matt Bonner showing up in the red and white does two things. It one draws attention to the team. I've already been hearing that story through the various Spurs blogs and networks and all that, and that's a big story for them. And two, I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, you can't hate Matt Bonner. He's just a great personality. One, and two, he plays hard. He's a big guy. He plays D. He can shoot the three. He's just a guy that you want to have in the locker room with the young guys, or even just with the vets, just to kind of rally around and, you know, just kind of build on his experience, and maybe even just push them over the edge towards winning a game or two with a hard nosed play or a timely three.
And I will hold my nose and ask this question, but Jamal McGlure, do we finally see him suit up for Canada?
Let's see. I'll tread lightly on that subject with regards to words, but I would imagine no. I think his time with the team has passed, not because he's not a good player, but because there are just other players right now who are better than him, who can take a spot on the team. Don't expect to see McGlure in a uniform anytime soon. I think his time has come and gone. Younger guys definitely deserve a shot at the team who are willing to play, and make that commitment. So, yeah, like you said, don't hold your breath. You might not be breathing for a while to come.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that kind of irks me. I mean, you know, it gets under my skin. I could rant for ages, but we got lots of other things to cover. So we'll just move on and say, with this roster, is it primarily going to be the guys that we saw qualify for this team, or are there anybody beyond Matt Bonner that'll be new that people may not know?
Okay, it's a good question. I think what they've been doing in the last few seasons with Canada basketball is something similar to the European style of team management, where they bring in about 20 guys or so, and then from that pool they'll pick the best guys at that level. We'll definitely see Jermaine Anderson, who was starting point guard. You'll see guys like Carl English. I would expect to see Andy Routens playing as well. I think half of the guys on that roster should definitely be locks for positions, and then we might see a couple of new guys here and there. So you might see a Tristan Thompson. You might see a Matt Bonner. You might see guys who maybe have been working with the national team over the last few summers but not made the final national men's team when they would compete in the big event. So, I mean, the names will be familiar for the most part. And if you're in the know, I mean, the new guys on the roster will definitely not be names that you wouldn't know just as a casual basketball fan.
Right on. And that was actually going to be my last question on Canada basketball, when we were going to see a guy like Tristan Thompson, a guy like Corey Joseph, and some of these guys playing for the national team, because in interviews I've seen them do, they seem like that's something that they'd want to do at some point.
Oh, yes, definitely. These young guys have not made any statements to the contrary. They're definitely excited about playing for their country. I think they're realizing that that playing at a stage of this magnitude is good for them, both as players and as brands, really. It could be as early as this summer. I haven't heard any word on these guys coming out yet. Don't be surprised if you happen to see Thompson or Joseph or even some other guys that maybe weren't mentioned in the press over the last few months as being potential candidates to playing on this national team.
And in general, we touched on it a bit, but Canada's really starting to produce a lot more talent in the NCAA. How long before we see a lot of that talent translating to the next level in the NBA? We mentioned a couple guys who have a shot at it, but is it starting to become a case of, instead of just having Steve Nash, Joel Anthony, and like a number of guys that we could count on one hand or two hands in the NBA, that we could actually reach a point that maybe within the next 10 years we could see maybe, you know, 20 guys in the NBA? I know in Major League Baseball, Canadians, there's a ton of them, of prospects and all that throughout the major leagues. Can we get that to that point in the NBA?
I think so. I think so. It's definitely increasing talent-wise in the NCAA, and guys are playing at very high levels. Unfortunately, the NBA works with 15 guys on a team. Over 30 teams, you really are trying out every year if you're not guaranteed a contract. So it's definitely possible. I'd imagine in the next 5 years we'll see a lot more guys, at least getting to training camps, getting to summer leagues, getting to places where they can potentially make a squad. Our talent level at that NCAA college level is very high. We have a very highly regarded player development system here. And I mean, don't be surprised if you're looking down a roster and you happen to see more than one Canadian playing on a team.
And then the age-old question, I guess, as we transition into the Raptors, when will we see a Canadian Raptor?
That's a good question there, James. I like the hope in the next couple of years. Right now, we're fighting the NBA world for a Steve Nash or a Joel Anthony. So I don't know. I think maybe in the next maybe 3 or 4 years. Don't be surprised if you see a Canadian on the roster. He might not be an impact Canadian or an impact player in the NBA, but he'll definitely be a Canadian. And maybe in the next 10 years, who knows? We might have a Tristan Thompson type of player who might be a franchise player or something like that, right?
And then I was going to save this for later, but we might as well do it now. Two questions.
Sure.
Would Andy Routens be that guy if the Raptors got a late first-round pick? And secondly, does Andy Routens get drafted in this draft?
Okay, let's start with the second question. I've been saying all season, all college season, that is, that Andy Routens is an NBA player, primarily because he's a lights-out shooter. You put that guy anywhere within the basketball court, he'll got a pretty good shot at putting that ball in the net. You can't really give up on a player like that. He's definitely an NBA player. I'm thinking maybe second round at best. He might be a mid-first round. I've been seeing a lot of guys moving up and down the boards the last few weeks. He's definitely got a shot of making a team, if not by draft, by a workout. And when it comes to the Raptors, for the late second round pick, I would think not. I honestly don't see him playing for the Raps in any other way other than a free agent camp. There is a lot of talented guys on the board right now who aren't going to be in the first round that maybe teams want to take a look at, and the Raptors are no different. And being Canadian is definitely a good thing, but unfortunately, Andy's stuck in the number, like in a game of attrition here, and basically too many good guys for too few spots.
Yeah, that's why I was saying a late second-round pick. If he was still there, maybe the Raptors saying, you know what. But anyway, let's get into this draft, and we might as well start with the Toronto Raptors, who currently have the 13th pick. Assuming that they keep that 13th pick, who do they take? Because it seems like everyone has so many ideas of who they take, and the Raptors are one team on a draft board. Like when you look at all those mock drafts, I see a different name on every site.
I think the consensus is Avery Bradley from Texas, the freshman guard. Had a chance to see him with one of our colleagues, Franchise from Raps HQ. He's high on him. He's a great defender. Me, not personally, I'm high on him. But it looks like he's the guy right now. It's really boiling down to either him or Paul George, the 6'9 small forward from Fresno State. Both of those guys are great talents, but both very young. At this point, Bradley looks like a lock if the Raps do keep the pick, but if he's the guy that's going to be drafted, I don't see the Raps keeping him for too long after he's been picked up.
And then when we look at the Raptors, there seems to be many theories on what they do with this draft. One of those theories is that they're shopping for extra picks in this draft. Do you see which is more likely? Do the Raptors more likely trade out of the draft or stay in the draft and get another pick?
Oh, I'm thinking that it might be they stay in the draft and maybe trade for a couple of more picks. I've been saying this to franchise all year. This draft is going to be really, really good for guys who aren't drafted because there's so much talent out there that's not going to make the first or second round. So really, the Raps wouldn't lose anything if, in my opinion, if they were to trade our 13th for, let's say, a late first and an early second round pick, because there's just so many good guys out there. I think that would be better off for us only because we have an extra option for a young guy that we can possibly lock up for a couple extra years. If all goes well for the Raps, I think depending on who the player is at 13, they may just keep the pick and just go from there.
And then we'll just get into some quick answer questions about the draft. And we'll start with this one. There are 5 Kentucky players in this draft. We are pretty sure John Wall will be the first one selected. DeMarcus Cousins probably the second. Who are 3, 4, and 5 in order how you see them getting picked?
Okay. I think the third Kentucky player would definitely be Patrick Patterson. I had a chance to see him in action actually at the draft workout, and I mean I'm high on this guy. He's a 6'9" guy. He's a big body. He can play the four with some and he has some three skills. Some long shooting, some dribbling. He's definitely a big player in this draft, and I think he'll be the third one. And then Eric Bledsoe. He kind of surprised me of how short he was, but he's lightning quick. He's got a pro body, I think. He's got really long wingspan. I don't know if anyone knows that, but he's about 6 foot with a 6'7" wingspan. He's just a freak athlete as well. You can't really give up on something like that. And I guess who was the fifth guy?
Orton.
Oh, wow! Then he'd be number 5. I completely forgot about that guy. The whole focus for me has been on John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins for the most part. I forgot that guy even played at that school.
Well, there you go. I met him. He's a nice guy.
Oh, really?
He is. He's a nice kid. He was up for workouts with the Raptors as well. In fact, all 3 of the guys that we mentioned just then were all up for workouts with the Toronto Raptors. So that is why we're mentioning them, not that we love Kentucky or anything like that. You know, although Ashley Judd, you know, hey, it's not too bad. Anyway, moving along, the Philadelphia 76ers sit in the second hole. There seems to be something that they might actually not take the guy that everyone thinks should be taken second, Evan Turner. Is there any chance that they do that?
I don't know. I would think that a team would not be functioning properly if they wouldn't take Evan Turner at number 2. Only because he is the second best player, if not the best player in the draft, in my opinion. But I don't see them not doing it. Worst case scenario, they may take him and trade him or trade somebody on the team to make space for him. He's just too good of a player to not take at number 2. It's kind of like Jordan at number 2. You just can't not take Jordan.
Actually, Jordan went number 3, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's right. Sam Bowie and who was the other guy?
It doesn't even matter anymore who that second guy was. It was Jordan was number 3.
That's true. Jordan was number 3. How about that? And Kobe Bryant was number 13, as I pointed out to Raptor fans. Not that I'm expecting that they draft the guy who is the next Kobe Bryant. But that being said, we mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. For some reason, he seems to be sliding on draft boards. We mentioned a bunch of guys sliding. He seems to have attitude issues, people say. But you know what? Every time I turned on a Kentucky game, I was there to watch John Wall. But I was impressed by DeMarcus Cousins. And I think he can be a really good player on the next level in the NBA. Agree?
Yes, definitely. Definitely do. DeMarcus Cousins has that unusual combination of size, strength, and speed. for someone as big as him, and really as young as him. But the knock on him for his 1 year at Kentucky has been that he's got an attitude. Whatever. He's just a talented player. We could work on the attitude, I think, when he gets to that pro level. We'll have to mature a whole lot faster mentally to take the like to become the player he thinks he can be. And I mean, attitude or not, you just can't give up a physical specimen like DeMarcus Cousins. You really can't.
And then as we close this out, when you look through this draft, who are some guys who for you are, you know, how they quote unquote call them sleepers? Who are some guys that would be some good value picks, maybe end of the first round, beginning of the second round type of thing?
I would think Hayward is a good pick at that. Well, as a sleeper, I'm a little suspect of guys who are 6'11 wings, who are average athletes, only because average athletes don't seem to last too long in the NBA. He's definitely somebody who'll probably slide a little bit more towards the draft day. And I think he'd be a good pickup for anybody. He's a great shooter, a great character player, and he's very fundamentally sound. There's a whole bunch of guys. I'm just trying to reel in my brain here for guys that I think are gonna be going there. But to tell you the truth, I think every one of these guys who's not in the top five or in the first round will definitely be a good sleeper. I mean, I don't see any other star players outside of Wall, outside of Evan Turner, maybe even outside of the Cousins at some point. And really, I think anybody outside of those top three will be considered a sleeper in this draft.
And considering we are talking to Raptor fans, who is the Hoffa of this draft, the guy that someone will select and will regret selecting?
Oh, wow. Okay, I've got a couple of names in mind, but my first one will be the first one will be Hassan Whiteside. I met that kid. He's a great guy. I'm sure he's a talented player, but I just don't see him, I guess, performing at a level that people think he will when he gets to that NBA, to an NBA game. I mean, he's great. He's tall. He's long. I'm pretty sure he's a strong kid, but he's still young. He's a very young guy. I'm just hoping that he can develop into a good player, but I just don't see him being that star that some people think he will be in the next year or two as a pro.
And you know what? You're not the only person who told me that. Someone else told me that, but I'm supposed to keep it on the down low, so I won't say who.
Okay.
And then, anyone else?
Oh, well, I think Paul George, personally.
Wasn't that the guy that you said the Raptors might select?
Yep, that's the guy. That's the guy. Numbers. He has great numbers. Franchise interviewed him on, at the camp, and he joked about how he's played on a whole bunch of AAU teams with Jrue Holiday and a bunch of other guys who were picked up for scholarships by UCLA. And it's a big joke, between those two, how he wasn't picked up by UCLA, and now he's this big prospect for the draft. I think he might be another guy. I think at best he might be a Keon Clark, with a 3-point shot. But I mean, shoot, I don't mean to kill any Raptor fan hopes there, but I think he might be another Hoffa if we pick him up.
Oh, wow, man. Now you got me scared for Thursday, and you're making me laugh at the same time. So, this has been fun, Ray. I enjoyed it. Thank you for all the information. And, we'll watch the draft on Thursday with interest. And we'll keep in touch. And you can keep us in touch with all these Canadian kids that are doing stuff in the NCAA, because there's a growing number of them. And with covering the Raptors, it's almost impossible to keep tabs on them all. But you do.
Oh, I'm trying. I'm trying, sir.
Thanks so much, Ray.
No problem, James.